Yes, I'm going to go fairly fast today. I really want to cover three prakim, because really two of them are really just a chazara and a summation of what the Alter Rebbe had said before. That's Perek Chaf Dalet, Perek Chaf Hei, which are summarizations. So when we learned them, we said them, but I'll go over it quickly. And then Perek Chaf Vav will be something new. We're going on the third meditation. Well, the Alter Rebbe gave us three etzes for how a Beinoni will be sholeit, will rule over the animal soul that is seeking to conquer the Ir Katana, the small city of the body. And the first etza was that if one contemplates the greatness of Hashem and the chesed of Hashem, that could actually arouse within a person tremendous, tremendous fiery love. And even if that fiery love does not consume the animal soul, meaning to say the enemy is still there, the enemy is still in the Chalal HaSmali, but it creates such a motivation that you don't want to be separated from God, that memela you will never let the animal soul take over the Ir Katana, right? That's meditation number one. And that is the highest level of the Beinoni. That's the level of which the love becomes a passionate, all-consuming love, even though it is not strong enough to vanquish the Netiyah for evil. The second meditation is we will call a sense of duty. And that is, even if my meditation on HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not create begaloi, in an open revelation, a tremendous passionate love of God, but at least it gives me a recognition that this is what I should want, and this is the type of person I should be, and emotionally that creates a sense that I will live up to this standard, because even if this is not yet the person I am, this is the person that I want to be. And that is called the tavuna of the lev. Tavuna means the hidden wisdom of the heart, in which it does not yet express itself as a fiery, passionate love, but it expresses itself as a wish that I could be a type of person that would have that love. Wishing to be a lover of God can itself lead you to behave like a lover of God. Now the third meditation, which he's marichin quite often, and again he uses a dimyon that some people may have a little bit of a problem with, and that is, imagine the fact that every single Jew, and unfortunately it's not every single Jew, but b'derech klal, is willing to be moser nefesh before they do avodah zarah or repudiate their Judaism. Even the lesson of the Alter Rebbe is, even a kal shebekalim, the Jew that is like the most insignificant Jew, the Jew that rejects everything about Yiddishkeit, doesn't keep mitzvahs and the like, when he is told by a guy, reject your Jewishness or I'll kill you, most Jews would be prepared, as the Alter Rebbe claims, to be moser nefesh mamish. They would give up their life. Where does that come from? That doesn't come from intellectual understanding of Judaism. It doesn't even come from a commitment to mitzvos. They keep no mitzvos. But rather, in the heart of every Jew, this is the idea of the Pintaliyid, there is a spark of divinity, and that is called an Ava Mesuteres. That is called a hidden love, a concealed love, a love that he's not even aware of, that at times of stress will come to the fore and cause him to do things that rationally make no sense at all. Al pi seichel, it makes no sense at all. Because what does he care? He doesn't live like a Jew. And if he could keep his life by rejecting his Judaism, why shouldn't he do it? And yet, there is an ava mesuteres in the lev. So says the Alter Rebbe, if a Jew understands that every single time he does any aveira, he is separating himself from Hashem, and he is getting his life force from the klipas, which is really the light of God coming through blockages and contractions, then he would understand that every single chait is like avodah zarah, and therefore he should make a kal v'chomer to himself. If I am willing to die for God before I separate myself from Hashem, even though it's shayach to do tshuva, even on avodah zarah, because a person can do tshuva nevadah, but if I don't want to be separated from God even for that 1 second, then kal v'chomer, I should be able to bear whatever inconveniences there are in doing mitzvahs and not doing aveiros. So essentially, therefore, you want to be, the third meditation means you want to be ma'orer, the hidden love that is in your heart, based on your willingness to be moser nefesh, not to be separated from God, and recognizing that every single aveira is separating yourself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the emes is, to be honest, there are difficulties in this paradigm. First of all, unfortunately, Bavinasenu Harabim, we have seen that Jews are sometimes willing to reject God in order to save their lives. That's one thing. But the second thing is, it's not such a pasha thing. I mean, the Alter Rebbe says over and over again, there's a kal v'chomer. If you're willing to take Yisurin of Misa, then kal v'chomer, the inconvenience of doing mitzvahs, you know, should certainly not bother you. Well, the emes is, it's maybe not such a kal v'chomer, because maybe there's a reason why people are not willing to keep Shabbos and they're willing to die before they repudiate Judaism, because death is a 1 second thing, and keeping Shabbos is a 120-year thing. And it is b'derech klal that people are willing to make the dramatic sacrifice, which is a one-time thing, as opposed to living. That's why Bilam says, when Bilam curses B'nai Yisrael, or wanted to curse B'nai Yisrael, and it turns into a blessing, so the lashon of the pasuk of his bracha is, Tomos nafshi maisi sharim, may I die the death of the upright. So the Chafetz Chaim says, Bilam wanted to die like a Jew, but he wasn't willing to live like a Jew. To live like a Jew is much more harder than dying like a Jew. So the emes is, the Alter Rebbe's Svara is not so pashut for us to follow. He essentially uses a kal v'chomer over and over again. If you're willing to even die before you separate yourself from Hashem, then kal v'chomer, you should be willing to bear the inconveniences or forego the pleasures of aveiros, because every time you do any aveira, even if it's a drabanan, midivrei sofrim, you are separating yourself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You are mayreit against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Your chiyus, your life force, is not coming from the light of God, it's coming via the klipas. And therefore, if the pintel yid in you understands that you don't want to be separated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu for even 1 second, even when there's a capacity of tshuva, then it wouldn't be shayach for you as a beinoni to be over. Right? This is the third meditation of the Alter Rebbe, in which it's really doing two things. It's making a kal v'chomer from the willingness to die, but it's also making you understand what an aveira is. Right? Because most of us say, well, avodah zarah is so chamor, but that's not the same for every little aveira. He says, no, every aveira is mafrit between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he goes in, he has some halachic questions here, because, well, after all, we do find pikuach nefesh normally does override other aveiros. So we see that not every aveira is the same. All right, so he basically says that some of these are gezeiros hakasevs. We don't necessarily have the reason. But when you don't have a heter to be over an aveira, every aveira is avodah zarah. And he brings from the Arizal and the Zohar that when it says in the Aseres Adibras, Lo yia lecha Elohim acherim, you shall not have other gods, small g, other gods, that doesn't just refer to idolatry, but every time you do an aveira, you're getting your yanika, you're getting your nourishment, you're getting your chiyas from the klipa. So in a sense, the klipos themselves are called Elohim acherim, and therefore every aveira is a bechina of avodah zarah, because you're looking to the klipas as the source of your chiyas. And then he goes on and says that, you know, that when you do an aveira, you're much worse than all of those klipas, because although those klipos, so to speak, represent tuma, but they are fulfilling the ratzon Hashem. They exist in the world to create bechira, right? That's why we have evil in the world, because that creates the possibility of choosing, that creates nisayon. So the klipais, and that which comes from the klipais, like non-kosher animals, right? Dogs, cats, pigs even, they're doing nothing wrong. They may represent richuk from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that's their job. They are living in accordance with the role that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has assigned to them. But when the Adam is mired against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he attaches himself to the Elohim Acherim, meaning that which gets chiyus from the klipas, he says he is much, much worse than the klipas themselves. The klipas themselves, just like the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is not evil. The Yetzer Hara is doing a job that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave that Yetzer Hara to do. But when you give in to the Yetzer Hara, you are bedafka, rebelling and cutting yourself off from Hashem. So, the Alter Rebbe says, why don't people realize that? So he says, it's basically as Chazal say, it says when a woman commits adultery, she's called a saita. And this is based on the language of the Pasuk, ish ki sista ishtai. When his wife turns away. So in the Torah it's with a sin, in the Mishnah it becomes a samach. Tista ishtai. But since sin and shin are interchangeable, so Chazal say that sista could be a lashon of shaita, crazy, foolishness. And it says, ein adam over avera. Nobody would ever do an avera unless there is a ruach shtus. A ruach shtus means you have literally gone crazy. You are crazy. You are nuts. It makes no sense to do an Aveira at all. And this Ruach Shtus makes a person... Do you need to... Yeah, that's fine.
What's your chair?
Oh, my chair. Sorry. Yeah, so the concept would be that you are nuts. You are crazy. Nobody would do an Aveira if you have any seichel at all. And Tista means I don't realize the consequences. I don't realize what the Aveira is doing. There's a ruach shtus that simply causes a person to forget all of these things. And therefore it's a mental, it's kind of a mental illness in and of itself of simply not recognizing what the Aveira is. Right, so this is basically what the Baal HaTanya says is the third Eitzah for the Beinoni. And that is, number one, remember what an Aveira represents. It's not just an Aveira. It literally means you are getting your chiyus from the klipa. Therefore you are cutting yourself off from God. You are being oved avodah zarah because essentially you're getting your chiyus from something, although that also comes from God, but that is very, very far removed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then you make the kal v'chomer, which I said was a bit problematical. If I'm willing to die before I cut off my connection with God, then kal v'chomer I would be willing to incur inconvenience or difficulty, because that's much less than Yisurei, the Yisurin of Misa itself. Okay, and in Perek Chafei, again, he just concludes, again, this is all basically by way of summary of everything that came before, that this meditation, this third meditation, is something everybody could access. This is Kikarov, again, our fundamental topic pasuk. Kikarov Eilecha Hadover Ma'ot. Your ability to connect to Hashem's Torah is karov eilecha, it is very near to you. And he says in his Lashon, shebechal eis uvechal sha'a biyado shel adam ubirshusa. Every moment it is within your power lahavir ruach shtus, to remove from your mind this spirit of insanity, v'hashichecha, and the forgetfulness, v'kirbay, lizkor ula'oreh, to remember and to awaken, avaso l'Hashem echad, the love you have to the ultimate one God, hamisuteres, b'vadai bilvavu, that is already in your heart. Again, this is called the hidden love. It is not something you have to learn, and it's not something that you have to acquire. It is in your heart already, and that's bilvavcha. And in that hidden love is also dechilu, is also yira. But again, this is not fear of punishment, and this is not even awe, but rather, as we said last week, the dechilu is the fear of not doing anything that will separate me from God, And that comes from the depth of my love of Hashem. Shaloli parid b'shem ofen miyichudo v'yachdusa yisparach afilu b'mesiris nefesh mamish, even from mesiris nefesh itself. B'li shem tam b'sechel, even though it's not logical. V'kol shekein, therefore, you could break your taivas, because that is much easier. Again, this is where I think some people would have a problem with this. He says, that's much easier than dying, is to break your taivas. Okay. I mean, if you consider, I mean, even to take a very simple example, that people continue to smoke, even though they might die from it, the answer is sometimes death might be easier than Shviras HaTaivas. But okay, but the Alter Rebbe makes this Kal V'chaimer many, many times throughout the book of Tanya. By the way, Perek Chafei, an interesting thing, Perek Chafei, it's recorded that when the Lubavitcher Rebbe was a chassan, when he was getting married, so he is already separated from his father. As you know, the Lubavitcher Rebbe married the daughter of the previous Rebbe, the Riatz, Rav Yosef Yitzchak. So the Rebbe's father, Rav Levi Yitzchak, who was a great Rav in Siberia, there were Jewish communities actually in Siberia, wrote, the Rebbe never saw his father again when he had left, but his father wrote him a letter, how to be Mechen, what he should do on the day of the Chasna. What should he do on the day of his Chasna to be ready to create a bias? And of course, I think these are all sorts of rumors. You know, there are rumors within Chabad that the Shidduch was made on the condition that this Rebbe would become Rebbe. You know, that's a little bit of an uncertainty, because as you know, there was an older brother-in-law, Rav Gerari, who was supposed to be Rebbe. Okay. But whatever it was, one of the Hayrais, one of the instructions that the Rebbe's father gave the Rebbe is that he should learn Perek Chafei of Tanya with a lot of kavana after he goes to the mikvah, because Perek Chafei is really the summation of everything that came before. Ki kara ve'lecho hadavar ma'od. And it's interesting, if you read it in retrospect, knowing that the Rebbe became a Rebbe, became the great Rebbe that he became, there's a lot here that's very, very relevant to the role of a Rebbe himself. Because the Alter Rebbe here talks about the fact that often the Yetzer Hara doesn't only cause us to do Averos, that's one thing the Yetzer Hara does, but there are other things the Yetzer Hara does. It takes away our enthusiasm. It creates a heaviness or a laziness within us, in which we don't do things with the enthusiasm that we should have. There is a coldness of the spirit. And when a person is misbonein, how I don't want to be separated from Hashem, that will energize him, and that will give him the enthusiasm to persevere in spite of the limitations of the body, in spite of his tiredness, in spite of his exhaustion. Again, if you think about the Lubavitcher Rebbe's career as Rebbe, spanning more than 50 years, and you think about how inexhaustible his kochos were, never taking a vacation, always being up till 2, 3, or 4 in the morning, and really the unrelenting avoda that he was meiser himself to his chassidim, but really to all of Klal Yisrael. So it's interesting that his father, perhaps seeing that would be the tafkid of his son, gave him this perek to read about, which talks about being miskaber over the coldness and the heaviness and the laziness that the Yetzer Hara often incorporates in us. Now, then the Baal HaTanya says a very interesting point that I admit I don't fully understand. I think I grasp it a little bit. He says, you know, a person might say, well, what's really the big deal? Okay, I do an Aveira, so I'm separated from God for 5 seconds, for 5 minutes. But then I do mitzvahs and I'm reconnected. All right, so for 5 minutes, you know. So first of all, he makes sure, well, for Avodah Zarah too, you could do Avodah Zarah for 5 minutes and then do tshuva. Okay, but he says, what's so bad? What is this cosmic tragedy that I'm separated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a short time? So he says like this. Again, I don't understand it. He says that Lagabe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who lives above Zman, every second of separation is an eternal separation, although vis-a-vis ourselves who live in the Musag of Zman, the separation might only be 1 minute. And therefore, in a sense, the sense of richuk from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even for a shortest amount of time, is as devastating and destructive as even a longer separation, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is l'mayla min hazman, and therefore everything is nitzchi. Now, who had in the other way around? When I do mitzvahs, and I'm makasher myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every second is infinite. Every second is eternal, because l'gabei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is no musik of zman. It's as if to say, whatever pleasure you would get over in eternity, your neshama is getting every second. Whatever pain your neshama experiences in an eternity of richuk, it's experiencing every second. So you can't measure connection to God or distance from God in terms of time, because every aspect, both the positive and the negative, is intrinsically l'mayla min hazman. And that's why it's no comfort for you to say, I can do tshuva. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is certainly going to be mekabel your tshuva, but that pain, the pain that your neshama is going through, is an infinite pain when you have that richuk. And if a person then thinks, I don't want to be separated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even for a mashu of zman, that would be the etzah of the Beinoni, not to give in to the Yetzer Hara. Yeah.
Let me say that the neshama is sort of a piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or at least of that essence. It definitely lives in time.
Yeah.
So how can we, even if we said on, let's say, our permanent record, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is permanently looking at the fact that we have made mistakes,
right,
and we have existed for that time. Ramaisa, when in this world, when we're here, the pain that the neshama can experience is bound by time.
Yeah, it's a problem. As I said, I don't fully understand why Hashem being l'mayla min hazman is going to translate into arichot. But apparently, there is a concept that infinity of time can be translated into an infinite pain that you can experience within the boundaries of time. It's as if to say, imagine the pain of infinite separation from God, and then put that infinite pain within a framework of time, as if it gets concentrated, so to speak. And therefore, time may be mitzamtzem the zman, but not the intensity. The intensity will be an infinite intensity, as it would have been had there not been any musik of time at all.
So we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it into the Bria that we can't experience the full enjoyment of, say, Limud Torah or even mitzvahs in general, because we would never take care of necessary human functions.
Right, that's correct.
Is,
yeah,
part of that sort of emotional dimming, or the feeling dimming, also dimming this? Because in a sense, infinite pain experienced in a finite time would,
yep,
definitionally obliterate something.
Yeah, I think that is correct. In fact, that's what the Baal HaTanya says, that we're not to margish the koach of what our aveiros do, but intellectually, if we understand it, we would never do it, because it's marchikas our neshamas from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now he then goes on and he makes an interesting aside, that of course there is a concept of tshuva, and even as an interesting ha'ara, that when you say salach lanu avinu ki chatanu, right, three times a day in Shemona Esrei, we pray that Hashem should forgive our aveiros. And he makes the point, the beautiful point, that if a person does not believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mochel, he's saying a bracha levatala. Right? The person has to believe that Hashem is mochel b'soleach. In fact, he doesn't say it here. He says it, I think, later in the Tanya. People ask the Kasha, you know, Yom Kippur, right after Yom Kippur, you daven Ma'ariv. The weekday Ma'ariv. Regular weekday Ma'ariv. In fact, it's such an amazing transition. We just said Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Le'olam Voed, which on Yom Kippur we say out loud because we're like angels. And even at the end of Ne'ilah, we said Baruch Shem Kavod three times out loud. And then, you know, Hashem Hu Elokim, etc. Then we go to Ma'ariv 5 minutes later, and we say Baruch Shem Kavod silently. We've already been demoted. 5 minutes ago we were Malachi Hasharet, and now we're back to earth. and you daven Ma'ariv, and then you start the weekday Shemona Esrei, you say Salach Lanu. You're hitting your chest. I mean, your chest is pretty sore from the whole day of hitting your chest. I got to hit my chest again. What Aveira did I do? I didn't leave Shul. I didn't break the fast yet. I didn't make Avdolah yet. What am I asking Hashem for Mechila? So one teretz the Velt likes to say is, you're asking forgiveness for the way you daven Ma'ariv after Yom Kippur. How did you, I shouldn't say you, but how did we say the first Kriya Shema, right? Already we're kind of thinking of the coffee cake or whatever it is. That's one teretz. But the Baal HaTanya's own teretz, because presumably his chassidim were not thinking of the cake, the Baal HaTanya's own teretz is that sometimes a person leaves Yom Kippur and he still feels Hashem did not forgive me. I'm still in a state of Aveira. That's the biggest Aveira, that he's not makir the tremendous, infinite power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be mochel Aveiros. So you're asking Hashem, forgive me for denying the koach of forgiveness that you put into the day of Yom Kippur. This is what the Baal HaTanya says. But he makes an interesting point, and I'm not sure what the makor of this is. He says that the specific aveira that Salach Lanu was going on is the aveira of Bittul Torah, because that's an aveira that everybody will commit every single day, and therefore we ask Hashem to be mochel the aveira of Bittul Torah. Yeah.
Women also daven.
Yeah, that's a good question. So the question is, what would it mean for women, unless you're going to say that they could have been nichshal in the support they could have given for learning, but again,
it's not the Isser of Bittul Torah.
Yes, yeah, it's not Bittul Torah. So that's actually a good kasha in the Baal HaTanya, because if there is a machlekes Rishayim, according to the Rambam, women are not mechuyavos to daven Shmona Esrei at all. They daven a tefillah of their own words. But the Ramban and the Mishnah Berurah so paskins is that a woman, unless she's taking care of small children, should indeed daven a Shemona Esrei, and actually two Shemona Esreis, Shacharis and Mincha. The Aruch HaShulchan even adds Ma'ariv. We paskin Ma'ariv not, because even for a man, Ma'ariv is a Rishus, so it doesn't become a Chiv for women. But that's a good kasha. I mean, that's Shver in the Baal HaTanya that... to say specifically, that Salach Lanu, is going on Bittul Torah, would be a bit of a problem. Yeah.
So in regards to sense for which one of line with Karet, really the process of Shul, you do Shulah, you parse the past, and then you have to go through a certain amount of Yisurim. So does Hashem consider the sin forgiven as soon as Yom Kippur passes, then you just have to go through the Yisurim?
Yeah.
The Yisurim are finished.
No. So this would be an interesting point, meaning to say, it is true that Yom Kippur does not finish the atonement for many Averis. Yom Kippur finishes the atonement for positive and negatives, but for Chiyuv Kares, you have to have suffering. But that's considered to be like physical therapy, meaning the sin is actually forgiven. Elamai, you need to go through a certain process of rehabilitation. But that doesn't mean you're not in Hashem's good graces. In fact, Shuvah and Yom Kippur will bring you into that matzav. Now he then brings a final point. Based on this meditation, he says, why were the Jewish people commanded to read Kriya Shema twice a day? Right? Moshe Rabbeinu gives them the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, and we know that Kriya Shema is not just Yichud Hashem, but Kriya Shema is the chiyuv of Mesiras Nefesh. V'yahavta es Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavecha, right, with all of your heart, b'chol nafshecha, with all of your soul, u'b'chol ma'udecha, with all of your money. But what is b'chol nafshecha? You have to be willing to die for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the makor of how do I know Avodah Zarah is yehareg v'yal yavor. Maybe Pikuach Nefesh allows me to worship idols. The answer is no. B'chol nafshecha is the pasuk that says there are some cases where you have to be willing to die. Now, the question is, why did Klal Yisrael need such a mitzvah when they're entering Eretz Yisrael? After all, when they're entering Eretz Yisrael, Hashem promised you're going to vanquish your enemies. So no enemy is ever going to go against you and make you repudiate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Baal HaTanya says, but according to what we're saying, I need to keep in mind the Mesiras Nefesh, the willingness to die for Avodah Zarah, because that will be the basis of conquering my Yetzer Hara for any other struggle. Based on the notion that if I think to myself, I am willing to die not to separate myself from the Yichud and the Achdus of Hashem, I then use that as a basis for not doing any Aveira. And that's why, even if you're going into a society where this will never happen, that you will have to give up your life, you will use this Machshava as the basis for being Kovesh the Yetzer, as the basis for the Beinoni, not sinning against Hashem with Machshava, with Dibor, and with Maisa. Again, he is not the tzaddik that has destroyed the evil in the Chalal Hasmali, but he prevents that evil from entering the territory of the Ir Katana, the small city, which is the human body, and the powers of the human body, the Machshava, the Dibor, and the Maisa, that will always be controlled by the Torah. Right? So this is the basic idea of the Aveda of the Bengali. Now, Perek Chafav, again, Chabad actually likes to assign numerological significance to chapters. Chafav is, of course, the gematria of the Shem Havaya. So Chafav is actually a very interesting and important perek, and it's a very practical perek. We're leaving a little bit some Kabbalah. Well, actually, that's not quite true. There's Kabbalah in Perek Chafav too. The Alter Rebbe never leaves Kabbalah. But he deals with a very practical theme, and it begins with the following. Let me just start reading you a little bit language. Baram, however, in spite of everything I told you, Kegain Dad Sarech Liyaduye, I must inform you of the following, with a klal gadol. Ki kamo shenitzachon lenatzeach dover gashmi. When you're trying to achieve a victory in a physical obstacle. Kegain shnei anashim ha-misafkim. I don't know if anyone here ever had a wrestling career in high school or whatever it is. You don't have to tell me. If two people are wrestling and one is trying to knock down the other guy. So, the one that is kind of lazy and heavy and lethargic will be very easily defeated even if he's physically much stronger. Right, lethargy, laziness, lack of enthusiasm is going to mean you're going to lose the battle even to a force that's weaker than you. And indeed, this has been the history of a lot of international conflicts as well. And if that's true, kocha mamish benitzacha in hayetzer. When you're fighting this war, who's going to take over the Ir Katana? You will not achieve victory with atzlus, with a laziness, a kavetus, a heaviness of spirit. But now here's the critical thing. And what do we mean by laziness and heaviness of spirit? Hanimshachot me atzvus v'timtum halev ki evan. The attribute that causes me to be lethargic is a sadness and a closing up of my heart in which I don't allow myself to feel, and I become like a stone. And therefore, the atzvus paralyzes a person. The sadness stops a person from exercising their strength, and that makes him amenable, vulnerable to the Yetzer Hara. Now, the Alter Rebbe is going to point out that this atzvus could come from two sources. There may be an atzvus in the gashmias of my life. I'm not making enough money. Bani chayo mezayna. Bani are children. Either a person doesn't have children or he's worried about his children. Chaye, his life, health problems. Mizone, parnasa. So one source of atzvus is bani chayo mezayna. We'll call that the gashmias of life. And there's another atzvus that may come from the ruchnius of life. A person is sad because they're doing averus. A person is sad because they're not growing in avodas Hashem. Now the Alter Rebbe is going to discuss that both types of atzvus are actually destructive. And he'll explain why. But he's going to say that the atzvus of gashmius has no makom at all. A person has to not have that at all. The atzvus of ruchnius is something that you need as part of your tshuva process. You need it. You need to be tzabrachim over your averas, but you need to contain it. You limit it in time. He's going to say you set aside a time where you're misbonein over your averos. You cry to Hashem. You have to have a lev nishmar, and then you put it aside and do the aveda besimcha. Now again, I mean, this is remarkable. If you read even Chabad stories, about rebbes, all the rebbes, this idea of changing your emotions on a dime is a bit of a hard thing for us to grasp. Meaning to say, I have an hour in which I am heartbroken over my averus. I cry, I sob, I realize how low I am. And I turn to Hashem and I beg Him for forgiveness. It's like having a good cry. And then I do the Aveda B'Simcha. So he says, and he offers a beautiful pshat in the pasuk. There's a pasuk in Mishle that says, "B'chol etzev yihya meisar." In all sadness, there shall be profit. Mosar is profit. So the Alter Rebbe says, you might read that pasuk to say a person should be sad. He says, no. It doesn't say the sadness is good. Yeah, the sadness can lead to something good, meaning through the shaviras halev, the breaking of my heart, and lev nishbar v'nitke, that becomes the greatest korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the maisar is not the sadness. The maisar is the simcha. But the simcha comes by breaking my heart and turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for forgiveness. And that is why in the famous Tehillim Nun Aleph is, we shouldn't say one Tehillim is better than the other, but Nun Aleph is one of the most beautiful and important kapitlach of Tehillim. Nun Aleph, Rabbeinu Yaina calls, is the Shir of Tshuva, the Song of Tshuva. David HaMelech wrote this Tehillim after he sinned with Bathsheba. David HaMelech committed a tremendous Aveira. See, people make a mistake. People don't read the Chazal correctly. Chazal say in Maseches Shabbos, Maseches Ksuvas, right? The Pashtus of the Pasuk is David took another man's wife, he committed adultery with her, and then he had the man killed. Gemara says, Kala Eimer David Chata. Anybody who says David committed a sin, Eino Ela Taya, he is totally mistaken. Because it was a Dover Pasha that all the soldiers who were in David HaMelech's army, they would give a get to their wives in case they would be missing in action. So David was not living with an Eishes Ish, David was living with a Penuya. And a melech is allowed to have a pileges, so to speak, even though, so a melech could be with an unmarried woman. And Uriah Hachiti, the Gemara comes up with an idea that Uriah Hachiti had rebelled against an order that David had given. As a moreid b'malchus, David could have killed him on the spot. So instead he sent it to the front. So everything David did was okay, and anyone that says David sinned is making a mistake. But the opposite is also true. Anybody who say David didn't sin is obviously making a mistake. Because the Navi tells us David sinned. Nasan HaNavi, Shmuel is not alive anymore. Nasan HaNavi comes to David. And he says to David, he gives him a case about a rich man and a poor man, and the rich man had many sheep, and the poor man had one little lamb. And the rich guy took the one lamb that the poor person owned and slaughtered it. What should be done to such a man? And David HaMelech says, such a man is a Rasha, he deserves to die for his selfishness. And Nasan HaNavi says, you are that man. And David HaMelech says only one word, Chatasi. And the child that Bathsheba was pregnant with died. Shlomo was the next child, Shlomo, but died. And Avshalom, you know, who tragically died, but at first wanted to kill his father, was because of this. So people take the Chazal to an extreme here. In other words, people say, what do you mean? What do you mean David did nothing wrong? That's idiotic. Of course David did something wrong. Chazal are just telling us, don't think David HaMelech did an Aveira as gross and as obvious as adultery and murder. That's not an Aveira that David HaMelech would commit. But he committed an Aveira. The Aveira was primarily in his heart. Because even though soldiers gave gittin, it was understood they would remarry their wives, etc. And even if Uriah was a married b'malchus, David did not kill him totally because of this principle, but he did it out of just to get him out of the way. Meaning to say that David HaMelech understood he committed a chait. In fact, Rabbi Yosef Albus says very beautifully, it's a famous kasha, Shaul HaMelech is given a commandment to eradicate Amalek, and Shaul HaMelech did 90% of it, 99% of it. He spared the king and some animals. And Shaul HaMelech is one strike and he's out. Shmuel says to him, you're out, forget it. David HaMelech commits something that seems to be worse, David and Bathsheba. And although he suffers, Hashem gives him another chance, and indeed, Malchus Beis David remains. So Rav Yosef Albo asks, why is it so that David is given another chance and Shaul is not given another chance? So Rav Yosef Albo gives two terutzim. It's really the second terutz that's more relevant to our discussion, but I'll mention both terutzim. The first terutz is that Shaul's sin involved the responsibilities of the monarch. The monarch, the king, was given a job to eradicate Amalek. He failed to execute the responsibilities of a king. That's a disqualifier. David HaMelech's sin was a personal chait of taiva. So Rav Albo makes the argument that a manig, it's very interesting politically, an interesting political argument, that a manig loses his right to be a manig when he fails to carry out the duties of his office. But with respect to personal aveiros, and that is shayach tshuva. Now, lahavdil, those of you that are students of American history and law, know that there's precisely such a discussion regarding grounds for impeachment. The Constitution says, the U.S. Constitution says, I don't want to be marked too much on this, but it says that a president or federal officer can be removed for high crimes and misdemeanors. That's a lashon. So there are those that say this must pertain to a misconduct in the office. If the president went to a bar and shot somebody, he could be arrested, but he could not be impeached because this does not pertain to the conduct of the office. Masha Enkein, if it was bribery or something like that, that right? So Rav Albo was saying a similar musar. Now, that's the first teretz. But the main teretz I want to share with you is the second teretz. And he says the following. He says the nafkamina between David and Shaul is not in the magnitude of their sin. Maybe David's sin was worse than Shaul's sin. But it's how they respond when the Navi is mochiach them. When Shaul fails to kill Amalek, or fails to kill Agag, the king of Amalek, and Shmuel says to him, why didn't you carry out Hashem's command? So the first thing Shaul says is, I carried out Hashem's command. And when Shmuel says, how come I hear the sheep? Shaul then blames other people. I was scared of them. They demanded to keep him. In other words, Shaul lives, in a, at least for that point, lives in a world of denial and blaming others. David, when Nasan HaNavi gives him the mashal, and David had an excuse. This is fascinating. David had all the halach. Why didn't David know the Gemara in Shabbos? David could have said, what do you mean? She had a get, etc. David Badafka did not give himself the excuses that he could have given. And the greatness of David is that David is modal or emes, and David assumes responsibility, which is actually what he got from his ancestor Yehuda, with Yehuda and Tamar, exactly the same thing. Tamar is going to be burnt at the stake, and she does not want to reveal that Yehuda made her pregnant. Why? Because better to go into a fiery furnace and not embarrass somebody publicly. But Yehuda steps forward and says, Tzadka mimeni. Right? So, this is David HaMelech's tshuva. His tshuva was profound. His tshuva was deep. And he wrote Kapitel Nun Aleph, Tehillim 51, which is the Song of Tshuva. And in that Song of Tshuva, he talks about Lev Nishbar V'Nitke, this is the Alter Rebbe's building, a broken and contrite heart is the one sacrifice that Hashem will never reject. The broken heart. But right afterwards, it says, Hashiva li sasayn yeshecha. Return to me, sasayn, the joy of your salvation. So the Baal HaTanya says, you see how this works. The Shaviras HaLev is not supposed to be your permanent condition. You set aside a time to be shaver your life, to cry, to be tzabrachet, and then you go back to serve Hashem b'simcha. Because the Baal HaTanya writes, if a person lives in a state of atzvos, that will make him lethargic, that will make him heavy, so to speak. That will take away his energy. And if it takes away his energy, no matter how spiritually strong he might be intrinsically, like a wrestling match, he's going to lose. See, the HR is never depressed, so to speak. The HR is always energetic. And therefore, if you allow the atzvos to come in, you will not be able to be minatzeach. Right? In this Tehillim is the famous pasuk as well, Al tashlicheni milfanecha. We say it in plural because in slichos, all of those pesukim were made into the plural. Right? So that's why if you know the niggun, Al tashlicheinu, do not throw us away. Leif tahor bara li alokim, create for me a pure heart. This is all from Tehillim Nun Aleph. Rabbeinu Yaina calls it the shear of tshuva. And the Alter Rebbe says, you see from here that the Shvira Salev has to be followed by Simcha. And the Alter Rebbe brings a minog of the Arizal that Tikkun Chatzais. Tikkun Chatzais are the prayers that Tzaddikim would say at Chatzais. Actually, many people say it even today, especially in Yerushalayim, in which a person mourns over the Korban Beis HaMikdash. You take off your shoes, you sit on the ground. Some people put ashes on their heads, and they mourn and they cry over the Korban Beis HaMikdash. I see Breslov as a whole sefer encouraging everybody to take a chatzais. They tell the story about Revelio Lapian, that he was already a zaken, an old man, and he started saying Tikkun Chatzais. Sorry, I mean, he's an older person. So somebody asked him, you know, why are you starting now? So he says, after 120 years, we go to Shemayim, and there's a malach with the whole Mishnah Berurah, going through the Mishnah Berurah, like, what did you keep, what didn't you keep? So he says, so Bishlama, by the time they get to Hanukkah or something, you know, that's already in the 600s. So, all right, by then, if I have a good record, so what happens towards the end is not going to be so bad. But Tikkun Chatzais is like brought down in Siman Aleph, towards the beginning of Siman Aleph. Roy v'nacha in lida galachorban that yirei shemayim. So he says, if I start getting things wrong on page one of the Mishnah Berurah, that kind of creates a bad track record. So at least I want to get page one right, so I get some credibility up there in Shemayim. But be it as it may, many other Gedolim did not say Tikkun Chatzais. And again, the Cheshbon is, you have to balance it with everything else, meaning to say, if you were to ask me, is it good to say Tikkun Chatzais as an abstract question, I would say, sure it is. On the other hand, when you factor it in with, how will it affect my davening and my learning the next day, so obviously that's a very, very important Cheshbon. That's an overriding Cheshbon. But be it as it may, the Alter Rebbe is not discussing Tikkun Chatzais, but he simply records that according to the Arizal, after you finish Tikkun Chatzais, you're supposed to read Kapitel Nun Aleph. And the Alter Rebbe says, is a dover pashut, why? Because after you do Tikkun Chatzos, the Ari says you're supposed to spend the rest of the night learning. So essentially you would get up at midnight, and right? And the learning has to be besimcha. But how do I become besimcha from the deep mourning and bitterness of Tikkun Chatzos? That's what the Shir Shel Tshuva teaches you. That after you say Zivchei Elokim Ruach Nishbara, that the korban that God desires is the broken spirit. We then end with Hashiva Li Sasayin Yeshecha. Let me feel and experience the joy of your Yeshua. And that prepares you for the abrupt transition from Meriras Halev to Simcha. Again, it's a foreign idea to us that you can change mood so quickly, but it is consistent with the Alter Rebbe's philosophy that the Moach is Sholeit Al Halev, that the mind controls the emotional states of a person as well. Yeah.
Is it shaykh to be practical?
Well, apparently it is. I mean, I'll tell you a story that the Chabad tells the story about the Rebbe Rashab of Shalom Ber. Shalom Ber was the father of the Friedeker Rebbe, the father of the Riatz. And Shalom Ber was, they call him the Mari Nevuchim of Chassidus, because he actually was a very deep philosophical thinker. He was one who started the first Chabad Yeshiva. And I think I mentioned before, he actually invited Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, the Rav of Brisk, to be the Rosh Yeshiva, because he wanted the best Rosh Yeshiva you could get, even if he wasn't a chassid. And Rav Chaim agreed to become the Rosh Yeshiva of Tomchei Tamimim in Warsaw. He would leave Brisk and go to Warsaw. At the end, the Chassidim talked the Rebbe out of it. The Chassidim said, you can't have like Rav Chaim. I mean, Rav Chaim was a non-Chassidic Gadol Hador. It would be like having two Rebbes. You couldn't have such a dominant influence. So unfortunately, that didn't happen. It would be an interesting history if there would have been a unification of Chabad and Brisk. That would be quite an interesting phenomenon. But okay. But be it as it may, the Rebbe Rashab though was among all the Rebbeim, he was come out a very, very deep thinker. His mamorim are very, very, very complicated. And he was a person who was also a very, very big masmid, in the sense that although he obviously was metapa with his chassidim, but he needed, he needed many, many hours where he would do his own learning, do his own aveda. He was not always in the public eye. In fact, most Chabad Rebbeim were not. It's interesting. We're so used to the Menachem Mendel, who was like always around. That was not the Minhagim. Chabad Rebbeim generally were, you know, they had hours, and then they were Isaac in their own Aveda. It's like this last Rebbe, Bedavka, made himself much more available than any Rebbe ever did before. But the Rebbe Rashab, it was Erev Yom Kippur, and he was doing some very, very deep reflection. And there was a Hasidish guy who comes by and says, Rebbe, where's the lekach? Where's the honey cake? Because Rebbeim give honey. And he was like saying, where's the cake? So the Rebbe Rashab said to him, he says, you know, it's Erev Yom Kippur, it's a time of tshuva, a time of hisbeinenus, a time where a person should be thinking about things. You know, you shouldn't go around yelling about the cake. So the chassid told him, Rebbe, you know, there's a time where we eat honey cake, and then there's a time where we cry to Hashem, and then there's a time when we learn, and now is the time for the honey cake. And he says, the Rebbe Rashab used to tell this story. He says, he was makabel. He says, you know, you're right. There's a time, every minute has its unique avaida, and see, once we get into a mood, we can't get out of it. He says, you're right. Right now, I have to have honey cake, and then I go back to what I'm doing. And the Rebbe Rashab used to say, because the mashal the person said was, Rebbe, we are soldiers, we are chayolim. And soldiers have different jobs at different times of the day. And for every moment, you've got to do b'diyuk what you're supposed to be doing. Yeah.
Really, the chalak between the types of sadness and between like depression. And then I remember him discussing his sadness that's more like being roiges yourself.
Yes, he uses two different words. He differentiates between what is called merirus and what is called atzvus. Atzvus is like being like a stone, where you simply don't feel. That's kind of the depression in which You don't feel anything. He says, that's deadening. That's kavedus. Mariras is when you're crying, you feel deep emotion that you're far from Hashem. Now, even that should not be a constant. That should be what is called itim mizumanim. You have designated times. And in fact, he even has a chap, an interesting chap. Again, I'm not sure I follow it so much. He says, you know, sometimes you'll be thinking about your averas in the middle of a work day. You might be doing work, you might be cleaning your house, and all of a sudden you start thinking, he says, why are you thinking about your averas then? He says, why? I mean, after all, you're not being Isaac in Avodas Hashem. Why is it coming to you then? He says, that's clearly from the Yetzer Hara to prepare you to be depressed when you start doing mitzvahs. So, if it's coming to you then, for sure get rid of it. And if it comes to you during, it's almost like saying, it reminds me a little bit of a story they tell about, just free association, but just reminds me of this, about a man that wanted to divorce his wife, and the basin wanted to know, what did your wife do? He says, I don't say Lashon Hara about my wife, I'm sorry. I don't say anything bad about my wife. So they got a get, so then the basin said, alright, she's not your wife anymore, so tell me what she did. He says, she's not my wife, so what's not okay? Whatever, in other words, so the other Rebbe says like this, the other Rebbe says, Atzvus over your Averis Mimanafshach. If it comes to you when you're not Isaac in Avodas Hashem, why is it here? It's only because of the Yetzer Hara. Elamai, it's coming when you're Isaac in Mitzvahs. But if you want Hashem B'Simcha, Avodah has to be B'Simcha, so you can't have it then either. So the only place is you designate a time when you can think about it and work on it, and that should be a limited time. He doesn't give you an exact amount of time, that would depend on the person. And he says, but otherwise the Avodah has to be Ivdu Hashem B'Simcha, and after the Shviras Halev you have to reach a matzav of Simcha and Bitachain, that Hashem forgives the person who does tshuva with sincerity. And of course he brings the famous Arizal. This is such a famous, you know, it's interesting that some things, the although we look at the Ari as Kabbalah, but some pshatim of the Ari have become so meforsim that they are common knowledge, and no one even knows they're from the Arizal. But they are a Chiddush. For example, the famous statement that the Jewish people are on the 49th level of Tumah, and if they would have stayed in Mitzrayim another second, they would have hit level 50. And when it says they didn't have time to let their dough rise, that doesn't mean the Egyptians were kicking them out. But that meant Hashem said, you have to leave before the dough rises, because you'll hit level 50. It is not a medrash, it is not chazal, it is from the Arizal. And yet everybody knows, everybody has heard that. Similarly, the Torah says that when the Torah gives the awesome teichacha, and it says the teichacha will happen because lo yavadata es Hashem eleikecha b'simcha, because you did not serve Hashem with simcha. So the pashut pshat of the pasuk actually is different than I think most of you would translate it. The pashut pshat was that you didn't serve Hashem and you were happy that you were not serving Hashem. Meaning, if a person doesn't serve Hashem but is sad about it, that's not so bad as a person who is happy about not serving Hashem. Right? So lo yavadata es Hashem eleikecha, and that was b'simcha. However, and that's actually the pashut pshat. However, the pshat that you probably have learned is from the Arizal. That is, the sin was you didn't serve Hashem b'simcha. That even when you served Hashem, you didn't do it b'simcha. You did it b'atzvus. And the Arizal says, even if the atzvus is because of your sins, not because I don't like doing mitzvahs, it's because of my sins, that's an aveira, because as David HaMelech says, Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha, right? B'simcha. Now they say, this is what I'd like to say, this is one of the benefits you get from yeshiva. Somebody once told the altar of Slobodka, he says he was a person who learned in Slobodka and then he became an apikaris, he became not religious and rejected everything, but he said to the altar of Slobodka, I'll never forgive you, I know I won't get Olam Haba. That I know. And that's because of me. But why did you have to take away my Olam Hazeh? By that, Zerach Klal, what that means is that one of the things you get in a yeshiva is even if Chas V'Shalom you leave the Derech HaTorah, you'll never enjoy the world, because you will always have a sense that the Olam Hazeh is Hevel and it's not worth anything and it's not going to connect you to something higher. So even if you don't remain with the positive, you do remain with the negative. Now you might say, well, that's no good. I mean, if I'm going to sin, I might as well enjoy it. Well, no. The dynamic is the other way around. If you're going to sin, you might as well not enjoy it. Meaning to say, it is much better to sin and not enjoy it than to sin and enjoy it. Because in one case, you know, you're not serving God, but at least you're not serving God with a simcha in not serving God. Yeah.
Is there a Tosfos that seems to imply that an Avera Lishmo is better than a mitzvah Shelo Lishmo?
Well, there's a Gemara that says it. The Gemara says, Gadol Avera Lishma, the Gemara's Maskana is, an Avera Lishma is as good as a mitzvah Shelo Lishma. So there is a Musig of Avera Lishma, but Avera Lishma, that's a complicated idea. Rav Chaim Volozhiner says that was only before Matan Torah you made these subjective determinations. Rav Tzadok seems to be makir avera lishma, but avera lishma is not an avera you don't enjoy. It means an avera that I'm doing because I feel I make a cheshbon that this will bring me closer to Hashem. That's a complicated dynamic. Okay, so this is again the Alter Rebbe's point about shaviras halev coexisting with simcha. And the idea is that tshuva should not put you in a permanent state of sadness. The permanent state of sadness is lethargy, kavedus, atzlus, and that will always mean that the kayach of the ra will be discovered. Now, the second point, which I'll leave for next week, is he then talks about the other type of atzlus, which you should never have, and that's the atzlus over gashmias. At the atzvos over Averos, there should be a time where I think about that. But the atzvos over Bani Chayu Mezainei, the basic hashkafa, but I want to be marach on it, but the basic hashkafa is that if you're maimon, that everything Hashem does is latov, then memela, you understand that even when life is difficult, right, what does the Mishnah in Brachos say? Right, the Mishnah, he brings the Mishnah in Brachos, Chayav Adam Levarech Al Hara, Kederach Shemavarech Alateva, and the Gemara explains that doesn't mean you make the same bracha, because for bad things, Dayana Emes, for good things, Shechianu, Atova Ametev, but it means that you're makabel even the difficulties of life with simcha. And if a person truly believes that a Kaddish Baruch Hu does everything Latayv, then there can't be atzvas there. Right? Bani Chayim Zaina, the key is Amuna. Will be talking about. So these are his two. So again, the overall theme of Chafav is a very, very important idea, that it's only besimcha that you could be matzliach in avoda, because when there is atzvus, there is paralysis, there is lethargy, there is depression, there is yish. Legabe the atzvus, the yanim of gashmias, the etza is emuna, and the understanding of Gamzu L'Tayva, Legabe, the Atzvos of Averos, you need that. You need a time in which you're misbainain on your Averos, and you have a Lev Nishbar, but that has to be what is called Be'itim Mizumanim, and then you transition to Simcha, as you see from Kapitel Nun Aleph, that Lev Nishbar V'Nitka has to be followed with Hashivali Sasayin Yeshecha, and that's Ivdu Has Hashem B'Simcha, and the Arizal's Pshat, that the Kaychecha came because even when you're Eved Hashem, you're not Eved Hashem B'Simcha. Yeah.
Are there specific times in the day which are best to do this?
So I have to look. The truth of the matter is, he refers you to the Geras HaTshuva, meaning Chelek Gimel of the Tanya. By Tanya's five chalakim, they were written at different times. But apparently, you see clear that the Igeres HaTshuva was written at least before the final edition of Sefer Shalbeinonim, which is Chelek Aleph of Tanya, because he refers to Igeres HaTshuva, and he says repeatedly, I'll go check it, I haven't looked at it recently, he talks repeatedly, Kamo Shekasafti B'makom Acher, and that is in Igeres HaTshuva. So next week we'll talk about that. I think, if I remember, I think he talked about Erev Shabbos. He says in the morning is a time from Erev Rosh Chodesh.
So it's not every.
Yeah.
It's not like every day.
So Lav Dafka. He doesn't say every day, but Dafka. He says the word Itim Mizumanim.
Because every day would be very like.
Well, so it depends on a person. I mean, some people might need it every day, but some people it might not be good every day. It may be too powerful for them. But you know, the minhag of Yom Kippur Katam. Right, the minhag of Yom Kippur Katan, that every Erev Rosh Chodesh, because Rosh Chodesh is treated as a kapara, and you're not allowed to fast on Yom Kippur, but there was a minhag among segments of Klal Yisrael that people would fast Erev Rosh Chodesh, and they would say special selichais, and that's called Yom Kippur Katan. Now, some people say the selichais without the fasting, okay, because we're a weaker generation. Other people, I see in a lot of times, they only do the Yom Kippur service on special occasions. They may do it Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul or something like that. But the original minhag is every single Erev Rosh Chodesh. And here in Yerushalayim, there are certainly kehilas that do Erev Yom Kippur. You know, it's called Yom Kippur Katan, but technically it's Erev Yom Kippur Katan. And it is said that Erev Rosh Chodesh Bedafka is a time where one should be mispainain on their Averis Bishviras night. Okay, so we'll go invite you next week. I'll have a good...
What time? Yeah.
Why, is the clock changing? But, as far as I know, it's the same time. 8 o'clock. I mean, is there a reason to change anything at this point? 8 o'clock, yeah, same time.